Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Sword and Trowel. Today, Graham and I are working our best to offend everybody and please nobody because we're talking about abortion and specifically some of the political ramifications for legislation that has been proposed in the state of Florida and some comments by former president and current presidential candidate Donald Trump on abortion. How should Christians think about voting in this upcoming presidential election? How should we think about the issue of abortion? Well, Graham and I try to think principally about it, and we make our own positions very clear, and we want to exhort other Christians to think clearly about these things as well. So hope you will enjoy this, and if you do, please pass this around and subscribe to the Sword and Trowel podcast on your favorite platform. Welcome to the Sword and Trowel. The Sword and Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel, the reformation of local churches. I'm Tom Askell.
And I'm Graham Gundin.
Hey, Graham, great to have you here today. Talk about something that's vitally important that we both care a great deal about, and that is
abortion.
There you go, abortion. So we are in Florida, and there is an initiative that's going to be put before the voters in November to change our Constitution to basically make abortion legal. Mm-hmm. And that nobody can interfere with that. If this becomes a constitutional amendment, it'll have to be overturned by legislation. And we're encouraging everybody to vote no on Amendment 4. And we're going to talk about that more, but not today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So what are we going to talk about today?
I'm a man on the political right, as I think you would say you are as well.
Depends on what you mean by man and right.
And political.
And political.
No. And on.
Right. No, we are. We would be categorized.
Yeah. And there's just been some troubling statements, some troubling movement on the right, particularly when you think about national politics and the issue of abortion.
Yeah.
Our former president, Donald Trump, has come out with some positions on abortion that we find disturbing and troubling.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. And this is a part of what we have been involved with Founders from day one, and especially the last 5 years or so, as issues of public morality have infringed more and more yes, into the church and the life of individual Christians. And so, you can't just live with your eyes closed and the blinds pulled down and think, well, no, I'm just going to have my personal relationship with Jesus. Those days are over in the West, and especially here in North America. Just ask our Canadian friends, and we are seeing it more and more in the United States. And so as those things have happened and there's been this encroachment, Founders have been unwilling to bend and to back up. And we've just been saying the same thing we've been saying, but over the last several years, it sounded more and more radical to people, like, oh my goodness, you've lost your way. Well, no, we've tried to maintain our way. And that is just speaking the truth according to what God has taught us in his word. And the same thing is happening now with President Trump. I mean, when you look at what President Trump did in his first administration, I think in many respects, apart from what happened with COVID and all the fiasco of that, he did some wonderful things for this nation. The Supreme Court justices that were appointed, the economic decisions that were made, and again, I know COVID changed everything on that, but there were many wonderful things done under his administration. Even those who didn't vote for him, who were devout Christians and conservative in their political thinking, came to realize, no, he really did well. And no small part of that was abortion and what he was talking about in terms of protecting unborn life. And now he's begun to waffle on that, and it's as if he's put his finger to the wind, taking polls, and says, look, most people think that there should be exceptions and there should be opportunities for you to abort, up to a certain time frame. And we just want to say, he's dead wrong.
Yeah.
He is anti-Christ in those views.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could talk a lot about the things that he did well. There's a lot of things that he did not do well in his first term as well. And when it comes to the decision between the Democrat candidate and the Republican candidate, I'm going to be voting, unless things change, for the Republican candidate.
And I would encourage every Christian to read the platforms of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. I've done that. I did the Democrat Party again just, sometime last year. And it's horrific. Mm-hmm. And I've gone on record over the last many years, and I'll say it again very clearly and publicly, and will continue to say it. No right-thinking Christian can vote for any candidate that stands on the Democrat platform.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. Yeah. I mean, you're not thinking right if you're a Christian, or if you think you're thinking right as a Christian and doing that, then you're probably not a Christian. Yeah. Because this is a party that is politically and principally for the murder of unborn children. And no Christian can intentionally do that. And if you think you can do that, well, then all I can say is I'm glad you weren't around in the late 19th century and when the Civil War was being fought and when there was chattel slavery that needed to be done away with in our nation, because you would have been the guys that would have tried to continue on with that system as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when it comes to the issue of abortion in particular, I mean, so Donald Trump, I think even just today he released a full statement on it. In the past, during the primary season against other Republican candidates, you know, he really criticized Ron DeSantis for pushing the six-week ban in the state of Florida, which has gone through. And you know, I praise God that there's a six-week ban. I don't think it's enough. I think we need a ban from the moment of conception.
Yep.
There's still a lot of work to be done. You know, I don't think that. I think that abortion needs to be criminalized as murder for all parties involved.
Yeah.
Because I think we need equal protection for every human being, even those in the womb. Yeah. So, you know, I'm with Donald Trump in that, you know, there's some criticism to be made when it comes to Florida's 6-week abortion ban. But I'm on the opposite side of Donald Trump when he says that, yeah, it's a horrible thing because it's, you know, we're limiting the time in which people can. Yeah. And the reality is, you know, there's something like what? Something around 80-90% of abortions take place before 15 weeks. And he was saying back in those days during the primary, yeah, we should have a national 15-week abortion ban, which would undo abortion bans like the 6-week ban in Florida. And now he's kind of walked that back and he doesn't want to do anything national. He wants to leave it to the states.
Right.
But he's talking about, you know, how we need to be realistic and how we need to be problematic. And he'll throw in this kind of, you know, wishy-washy language about, yeah, we, the pro-life people, we need to follow our hearts in this thing. But we really need to be, you know, compassionate when it comes to the issue of life. And we really need to, you know, consider the mother, and we need to have exceptions for rape and incest and the life of the mother and all these things. And what he's putting forth, and this is so important because he's a leader in the conservative movement right now. Mm-hmm. He's a leader in the Republican Party. And where he goes, the majority of the party is going to go that direction. And what he's proposing is just not pro-life.
No, it's not. It's what flies under the banner of Pro-Life Inc. now.
Yeah.
Because we have erstwhile pro-life leaders like the Brent Leatherwood, head of the ERLC, Bart Barber, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who both are on record saying, no, you know, women should not be held responsible for their abortions. And so we don't want to criminalize women. I mean, that's a crazy way to frame this question. I like what Bradley Pierce says, the way he puts it, is that the murder of anyone should be illegal for everyone.
Yeah.
And if we would just hold to that basic equal weights and justice approach, equal weights and measures approach to this issue, then we would say, yes, from the moment of conception, that human life is worthy of equal protection under the law to the same degree that a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 90-year-old would be protected. And part of the fallacy that motivates and is used to obfuscate so much of this discussion by those who don't want to criminalize women is they give the impression that if you pass equal protection under the law for unborn people, well, then you're going to necessarily put women in jeopardy in an unjust way. Well, what about the woman whose boyfriend requires her or pimp requires her to get? Okay, we have laws that cover that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you and I go to rob a bank, and I'm on the lookout, and my wife loaned me her car, and you go in with a gun and rob the bank, well, you're going to be held to a greater degree of culpability than I will be, though mine will be pretty close to yours, but it'll certainly be higher than my wife's will be because she simply let us use her car. I mean, those things, the law already makes those kinds of distinctions. And so it is nothing but a smokescreen when people say, well, you know, if you do this, then, you know, everybody, even the prostitute whose pimp requires her to get an abortion is going to be held to the same level of culpability. Not true. Our law distinguishes already between levels of responsibility. But why can't we simply use equal weights and measures and say that anybody who murders anybody is going to be held accountable by the law?
Well, and it's what it is it's class discrimination. You know, the liberals, the pagans, the left, they're very open about this. Yes, we believe that the fetus in the woman's womb is a human person. It's a human life. But that human person's rights do not trump the rights of the woman in whose womb it is. Therefore, because the woman has her rights to live the way that she wants to live, she has the right to put the child to death. That's the leftist view. That's the liberal view. That's Joe Biden's view, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's the pro-life view, which is actually fairly close to that. Yeah, we believe that it's a human person and it has dignity and it shouldn't be put to death. But if it is put to death, we're not going to treat that murder as we would treat any other murder, because the life of that person in the womb is not quite as valuable as people who are on the outside of the womb. We need to realize that actually we're pretty close to the left. We're pretty close to the pagans when it comes to that, when we hold to that, you know, pro-life Inc. Logic. And, you know, when it comes to the Republican Party, when it comes to Donald Trump, there's a great desire to win elections. Mm-hmm. And we have this feeling, and it's been shown in some elections and recently and in some polling, that the nation is against, limiting abortion before 15 weeks. And so pragmatically, we just, you know, we need to kind of go along with it. And the Democrats are really going to push this thing because they think that they got a winning issue here on the abortion issue. And women feel like their rights are being taken away. So if we really push the Republicans and we demonize them for their views on abortion, well, then we can gain a lot of voters. And the Republicans are just being dragged along. Yeah, Donald Trump is just being dragged along with the left on this one, saying, hey, guys, listen. Don't worry. I'm not really going to limit your ability to kill your babies. We're not really going to do that. Don't be afraid to vote for us. You can still kill your babies. It's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation on The Sword and the Trowel. I wanted to invite you, as we often do, to our Founders National Conference that's coming up next January 2025. The theme of the conference is Revive Us, O Lord. And Tom Askell will be there, Vodi Bakum, Jeff Johnson, Joel Beakey, Tom Nettles. It's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship and hearing from these wonderful speakers on the issue or the theme of revival. The rates for the conference are going to be increasing at the beginning of May. So if you're planning on coming, make sure you go to founders.org/events in order to get tickets before the rates go up.
One of my greatest concerns with Donald Trump all along is that he's not a principled man. He's a pragmatic man. Mm-hmm. And so he will determine to do what he thinks will win elections. And I think he tapped into something that the rest of the Republican Party missed back in 2015-16. Mm-hmm. And that is that people were waking up and getting sick and tired of the nonsense that was just beginning to break upon the shores in terms of social justice or DEI or critical race theory, all that stuff. And he recognized, no, man, there's some just salt of the earth people here. They want to be led, and I can lead them and gain a majority. And he did. And he bamboozled everybody in doing so. I mean, the postmortem after his 2016 election was hilarious to watch. It was hilarious to see all these newscasters crying, you know, what happened? What happened? Hillary was supposed to be coronated, you know, she didn't get it. Well, he tapped into something. Well, I think he's just doing the same thing now. Yeah. No principles. The landscape has shifted, and so he's measuring it here. He put this out in a statement over the last few days. He said, you know, that I and most other Republicans, Ronald Reagan included before me, believe in exceptions for rape and incest and the life of the mother. Great love and compassion must be shown when even thinking about the subject of life. But at the same time, we must use common sense in realizing that we have an obligation to the salvation of our nation, which is in currently in serious decline. We must win elections. So it's pragmatic. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, we got to care about babies unborn, but we got to save the nation. So if we have to kill a few million babies to do that, it's worth it because we got to save the nation.
Right.
It's just this kind of thinking is immoral. It is godless. It is unprincipled. Now, mm-hmm. having said that, you put Donald Trump on one side of the scale and Joe Biden on the other side of the scale in terms of morality, we're not talking about a morally equivalent equation here. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is cheerfully, strongly advocating for death of unborn babies without restriction.
Mm-hmm. He is taxpayer funded.
That's right, taxpayer funded. He is advocating for the insanity of transgenderism. He is advocating for the destruction of almost everything that is good and right and true mm-hmm. that God's word tells us that we should extol and pursue. And so when you compare them, you know, we're not comparing who we want as our pastor, and we're not comparing a morally righteous man in every way to an immoral man in every way. We're comparing political parties and leaders of those parties. And I would say any right-thinking Christian that looks at that and says, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're both the same. You're not thinking rightly. Mm-hmm. You need to go back and do more work. And to the Republican side of this equation, or, you know, the guys in the SBC that have said, we're not going to criminalize women. It's as if they're saying that women don't have the kind of agency that mm-hmm. men have.
Mm-hmm.
And so poor women have to be protected from themselves. And mm-hmm. if they intentionally choose to murder their babies, they shouldn't be held accountable because what? Well, they're not men. I mm-hmm. mean, really? They're not going to say it that way. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly the position that they're advocating.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of them would advocate that the doctor could be criminalized.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
And the man that encourages her and says, no, you really got to have this abortion. Right. He could be criminalized, but that's not the woman.
And why can't we just have the same laws for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who murders anybody is going to be held equally accountable under the law, according to the laws we already have. And that equal protection that you and I enjoy, and every other person listening to this enjoys, would be afforded to the persons that have not made it through the birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying. And that's, I think, a principled and righteous position. And it's what I thought the pro-life movement was for. Up until several years ago. I mean, you know, I call myself pro-life, protested and spoken at pro-life issues and written and done other things for that until I was convinced that pro-life legislators, primarily in Texas and Oklahoma, where the information was sent from to me, were killing proposed legislation that would have called for the immediate elimination of abortion in their states.
Mm-hmm.
That would have abolished abortion by law. And they spiked those bills. And that's when I woke up and said, wait a minute, maybe I'm not pro-life, or at least not like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that kind of pro-life.
Yeah, the pragmatism has just completely taken over any sort of principle that we otherwise would have had.
Right.
And, you know, I'm with Donald Trump. I want our nation to be saved. You know, it's a nation, so it can't be, you know, it doesn't have an eternal soul that can be saved, but I want our nation to be saved. But God is the one who saves nations.
Right.
And despite our best efforts, it will not be saved unless God saves the nation. And God is not going to save a nation that is wicked and killing its babies and offering their children up to Molech.
Yeah.
And so it's not about, hey, you know, let's compromise on this position here so we can win the election. It doesn't matter what elections you win. The nation will not be saved unless the nation honors God.
That's right. Yeah. What's the best thing we can do for the American economy? Outlaw abortion.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best thing we can do for our military standing in the world? Outlaw abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I mean, it's outlaw abortion. Why? Because that is the national sin, and, mm-hmm. and it's in. There's a lot of competition for it, but that is our great national sin and crime, and we are doing this with a high hand and with bold face before God, and God rules nations, and mm-hmm. so if we believe that, well, then we have got to repent, turn away from this, and bring the slaughter of unborn children to an end, and we ought to be working toward that. Now, having said that, if Joe Biden gets elected, if Donald Trump gets elected, God has their hearts in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is no time for Christians to wring their hands and just to say, oh, no, you know, if my man doesn't get elected, then I'm just going to quit or everything's going to be so bad. Look, God's ruling. And if God wants to bring judgment on America by giving us the political leader that we deserve, the Church of Jesus Christ goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And as the night gets darker, the light becomes brighter and more mm-hmm. evident. And so we should never, God's people should never give up in discouragement or despair and think, oh no, all is lost. All's never lost. Our mm-hmm. best days are always in front of us because of the risen Christ.
Yeah, I'm reminded, you've been preaching through the book of Daniel, and it's amazing the way in which Nebuchadnezzar, a king who comes in and he destroys Jerusalem and he destroys the temple, and carries the people off into captivity. The Lord uses him to establish true religion throughout the empire.
Mm.
And then the Lord uses this pagan Cyrus to come in and free the captive Judeans to go back to their homeland, and pays for the rebuilding of the temple to establish true religion. So the Lord can do anything through any instrument, any ruler, and he does have the heart of kings in his hands. What would you say, you know, this is obviously an incredibly important issue. And I could see people who would agree with us on this issue and just about everything that we've said, but they would also say, but listen, you know, it's April and we're in the middle of an election year. November's coming up and there's a lot riding on this election, and Donald Trump is our guy, like it or not. And so let's just not criticize him until we get through the election, because what you're doing is you're harming our chances.
Yeah. Well, I would say I understand that political expediency. And, you know, I'll give you all the ground you want to make that case, but I'm a truth broker. You know, truth is my stock and trade as a minister of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to speak the truth. And I can say that what Donald Trump is advocating here and what he is saying is completely godless. And if the election were tomorrow, I would vote for Donald Trump rather than Joe Biden, because I think it's a binary choice. And I know there are people who say, well, vote third party, don't vote. Okay. I think I have an obligation to love my neighbor in America, and as a citizen. And when I go to the voters' booth, the way I love my neighbor is to try to put the person in office that I believe has the best opportunity under God to do more good than harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
When you compare Joe Biden and telling us what he is going to do, and you look at what he has done and compare him to Donald Trump and what he did and what he says he's going to do, they're not morally equivalent.
Yeah. Who will be more just? Who is more likely to punish the evildoer and promote good?
That's right.
Now, so, it is Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is. And I can say that eyes wide open and criticizing the things that are worthy of criticism, because I hope that people close to him will convince him to fear God, to come to a right understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of righteousness that God has revealed. But whether that ever happens or not, you know, we've got to make these choices on the basis of righteousness. And again, in case people misunderstood me, no right-thinking Christian can vote for anyone who runs on the Democrat platform.
Mm.
I'm convinced.
Send Tom your emails.
That's right. It's at grahamgundin@gmail.com. So, thank you for joining us on this episode of Sword and Trowel. It's an important issue. And this is the kind of thinking that we have to do as pastors, because we get questions all the time. And we're trying to shepherd a flock. And we're not saying that because you're a Christian, you got to vote Republican. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that. But I am saying, and I'll just speak for myself, if you're a Christian, you can't vote for Joe Biden. You just can't. And I'm happy to have that conversation with anyone who calls himself or herself a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us today. If we can do anything for you at Founders, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. It'd be our joy to try to serve you.